Facebook Live.
All right, it's VoiceOver Body Shop. It's Monday night. We have a lot of people on the show tonight. We're going to do our semi-annual Audio Masters Roundtable.
Table.
And we'll be joining them in a little bit. So if you've got a technical question, the guys at VOBS.TV or in the chat room, which is the best place to do
it. The official chat room at VOBS.TV, preferably.
Right. Yeah. So that's coming up on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, who bring you Source Connect, Source Connect Live, and Source Connect Now. VoiceOver Extra, your one-stop site for voiceover resources. Vizzy Demos, your audio demo never looked so good. VO2GoGo.com, announcing camera-ready you. VoiceOverView.com, your voiceover business made simple. And the VO Dojo, take your voiceover career all the way.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. If you're wondering, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS.
Yay.
Okay, our semi-annual Audio Masters Roundtable. Why am I applauding?
I don't know.
Like
you're feeling very percussive tonight.
I know.
I think you're excited.
I am, because we've got a great show tonight. We've got a bunch of guests. We have, let's see, 1, 2, 3. We have four guests.
That's right. Other than the two of us, that means six people total.
Six people, but four guests, and we also have a new audience cam. Fire up the audience cam, there, Andrew. There, everybody,
yay,
wave and cheer.
What's the audience?
All right. All right. Don't show off. Anyway, we're going to answer everybody's questions. If you have a question, throw it in the chat room. That if you would like our panel of audio experts to discuss. And we will answer that question. Whether we do it correctly or not, you'll have to look it up on Google and figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, check our work, will you?
Exactly. All right, but we're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes. But right now, it's time for...
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
All righty, here is the news for June 19th. Yes, it is June 19th already, folks. Almost summer. VoiceOver Extra News. A fishy old scam. Say, whatever happened to the good old Nigerian lottery? Have you won anything from that lately? We sure haven't seen it for a while. But no matter, another fishy oldie but goodie is still making the rounds in the voiceover world. And kidding aside, that indicates that voice actors continue to fall for it. Now, John Ray, a voice actor in Seattle, describes the scandal in an article that will appear tomorrow in VoiceOver Extra. The scam is laid out over a long series of emails, and the scammer's name, this time, is Daniel Fish. I'm writing to warn everyone, John says. My guess is that this guy casts a pretty wide net and that there are others out there on his radar. If you hear from him, run! And certainly don't send any money to Daniel Fish. Here's how the scam is playing out with John. Daniel Fish found John's name on an online casting site and offered John a voiceover job. The job involved two recording sessions on succeeding days in July at a small independent studio near John. I was given specific dates, times, and location, and there actually is a studio at that location, John says, getting very sophisticated. But John later learned that the studio did not have appointments on those dates, and that the studio owner had never heard of Daniel Fish. Now, here's the heart of the scam. John was to be paid $900 for this job with a down payment of $400. The remainder would be paid at the conclusion of the second session. Then, John says, it started to get weird. John received a check from Daniel in the amount of $1,920. Daniel instructed John to keep the $400 and then reimburse the remainder by wire to a consulting engineer in Chicago. Okay, well, by this time, John thought the whole thing was pretty fishy and he didn't send the reimbursement. Smart move, which made Daniel impatient. Daniel demanded his money as soon as possible. John told Daniel that he needed Daniel's check to clear first. Daniel responded that he's considering legal action against John. Well, we're quite sure John won't be appearing in court this time, unless perhaps authorities can nab Daniel. John has reported this to the Federal Consumer Fraud website and is following up with state and local authorities. Meanwhile, if you hear from Daniel Fish, don't bite. More info about scams and hundreds of other helpful voiceover articles are available now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success.
Lovely.
Yes. Oh, they're constantly, if they're firing at me all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's over some of the online sites.
I can't believe that this is now, voice actors are now a target for fraud.
Many? Apparently we're an easy mark for some people.
I guess so. I mean, it's all about, you know, if it only takes one person and, you know, and 10,000 to bite, you know, and these guys can make some money. So.
Right. Well, not off of me and certainly not off of John. So yeah. Anyway, any tech news that you know about, or do we want to get into our panel here in a second?
I'd love to get to our panel. I will say that the biggest news for us tonight is the fact that we're on the air pretty much on time and everything is working beautifully. And this is a little inside baseball stuff, but we're using Wirecast 7.7, which has some new features in it that is really making the show easier for us to do and easier for us to see in the studio. And it's I'm just really happy. I mean, this other than working in voiceover studios, this has been my everything for the last couple of weeks trying to get this to the state it's in now.
Most frustrating, but just being able to, the monitor's working now, and now it's nice.
Hopefully I'm not speaking too soon. I'm not jinxing the show. The show is going to go beautifully for the rest of the night.
Right.
Now that I've mentioned that.
Yeah. How hot is the computer there, Andrew? 75%. All right.
75%.
We are running it at optimum.
Yes,
all right.
We're in good shape.
Okay. Well, it's time for our Audio Masters Roundtable. We'll get to that right after these messages. So don't go away.
What do your target clients see when they listen to your audio-only voice demo? Your clients are creating visual content. They live in a visual world. They think visually. To make a strong impression, your voice demo needs to meet them where they live. Now, your voice demo can make a strong visual impression when it's a Vizzy visual voice demo. A Vizzy demo takes your audio-only voice demo and adds a visual component, making it instantly more memorable to your prospective clients. The audio track of a Vizzy demo demonstrates your voice work like only your voice demo can, while the video track tells your story, reinforces your brand, and delivers the call to action that an audio-only voice demo simply cannot. You went to all the trouble to have your voice demo showcase your work. Now, go all the way and showcase your brand, too. Book your Vizzy visual voice demo at VizzyDemos.com.
All right. Always wanted to give VoiceOver a go, but didn't know where to jump in? The VO Dojo Summer of VO is for you. It's a virtual VoiceOver summer camp for grown-ups. Remember when summer meant you could just play and learn something new? That's what we'll be doing all summer long. It starts with a free 2-hour workshop on Wednesday, June 28th at noon Pacific time, where we'll share some basic concepts and give you a powerful tool set to start exploring how to make any piece of copy your own. Then the fun continues as we dive in for 8 weeks with our Summer of VO weekly workouts. Sounds like a lot of fun. Then they'll meet virtually once a week starting July 11th with workouts for all levels, combining group coaching, self-direction skills, working pro guests, and mock auditions in a variety of genres. So whether you're completely new to VO or have been exploring on your own and want an inspiring fresh perspective, or just want to get the heck out of your closet and work and play with other super cool VO people this summer, jump into the VO Dojo's Summer of VO, a seriously fun virtual voiceover summer camp for grown-ups. Go to this website to grab your spot now, and that website is TheVODojo.com. That's www.thevodojo.com.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch. Or else.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
And we are back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Looking nice. Cameras are nice and sharp. Color is fabulous. And we have some great guests tonight for our Audio Masters Roundtable. Yeah, let's go around the horn. First off, one of our favorite people of all time and a sponsor, but also a great audio expert in his own right, an Emmy Award-winning sound designer, joining us from Bloomfield, New Jersey, the one and only Uncle Roy.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Hey. All right. And, okay, and for that, you get an Emmy.
What you been up to, Roy?
I had the most fun project, if you can kill that echo. my 10th grade English teacher wrote a book and asked me, could I produce it?
Wow.
And when I met him, he was 25, I was 15, and he was directing me in the school shows. And now the tables have turned, and I'm directing him.
And he's 108. No, just kidding.
That would make me 98.
I was where I was going with that.
Next year, I'm going to be 98.
Excellent.
Uncle Roy, will you give us, just for those that don't know, We all know each other so well, but there's those of you out there watching that don't know who these fellows are. Uncle Roy, Roy Yokelson, tell us a little bit about what makes you unique and brings you to the voiceover realm. Why are you involved in tonight's panel?
Because we want everybody to get it right. I think part of the real reason this particular episode is on is we've heard some bad audio come through for WoVo.
Yeah, bad.
We approve bad, some bad ass. And we want everybody to get it right. We care about the people. We want your audio to get approved. So we help you get it approved. And some people, well, we'll get into it.
What's it supposed to sound like is the point.
Yeah.
All right. Who else do we have on our panel tonight? Another close friend of ours, a guy who I'm always thrilled to run into no matter where I run into him. And joining us from Dallas, Texas, the one and only Cliff Zellman.
Hey, everybody. Thank you. Great to be here with everybody.
So tell us
love
a little
the
bit,
cameras. Everybody looks good.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, you are a producer for Radiovision, so you work a lot with recording commercials, right?
Yes, Radiovision. I've been with them going on 22 years now.
Wow.
We specialize about 90% automotive, and I'm really, really fortunate. I've been branded the automotive guy. And I love that because my two favorite things in the world is VO recording and automotive. Before that, I was a professional audio engineer in LA for going on 20 years and worked at Fidelity Recording Studios on the corner of Woodside and Moore Park, where we did hardcore rock and roll. And towards the end, me being there from 90 to 95, we did a lot of animation. And I did a lot of group recording as the recordist. for various Saturday morning TV shows. And that's really where I fell in love with VO and working with actors and directing actors. And it's been great. I'm very, very blessed and very, very busy and thrilled to be here with a wonderful panel. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Terrific colleagues.
Yeah. Well, that means he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think so. You got the pedigree.
He's certainly one of the top experts on this field.
You're in.
I got the shirt.
Yeah. Nice shirt.
Thank you.
Freshly ironed?
Oh, freshly laundered. $8 for four of them.
All right.
It's a good deal.
All right. We have a special guest tonight who's joining us from Springfield, Illinois. Carrie Donovan.
Hello.
I know she's in there somewhere.
I'm here.
I see her.
I'm here.
I don't see her yet.
Well, find me.
If other people talk, it switches to them.
Okay. So. Just Uncle let Roy, Carrie talk.
Shut up.
Okay, just let me talk.
There she is.
Here I am. Wow, I actually show up.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you've got a nice Neumann microphone there. What is that?
I have the BCM-104 and the MKH-416.
Oh, the 104. So what made you pick that over a TLM-103?
Well, for one, I like that I can just take it apart and clean it.
Oh, it's serviceable.
Oh, take a wire brush and...
No, actually, it all unscrews just like this.
Wow.
You can just take that off. You can take off the wire screen filter here and clean and just wash it.
Oh, wow.
You know, and you can just wash that and just clean it all up and put it all back together.
Yeah, that's designed as a broadcast mic primarily.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So, yeah. And actually, the specs are really pretty much the same as the 103.
Mm-hmm. I figured it might be the same capsule.
It's a new. Actually, it's a K7 capsule.
Yeah. Okay.
So it is the newer capsule.
We're going down the. I couldn't help it. I saw the mic. I had to start. We didn't even get to introduce Jordan yet.
Yeah, but we'll get to him in a second.
Carrie, tell us a little bit about your background and why you're joining us about VO tonight.
I don't know why I'm joining you.
We do.
Oh yeah. Well, you guys know what I do, pretty much. I mean, I do a lot of broadcast engineering side, so it's kind of, I do a lot of installs of studios, building radio stations, building studios, just, you know, whatever somebody needs, you know, or diagnosing PC issues with computers. I do a lot of IT stuff, too, so.
Oh, good to know. Yeah. You're a techie's tech.
I take care of... Neuhoff Media. I have 5 markets there, so I manage probably about 250 computers and probably close to 300 users.
That's enough.
And we have next-gen automation systems in 3 of our markets. We're going to be moving into the 4th market too. So,
well, I can see where her expertise will be very valuable tonight.
Yeah,
because everybody's like, "I want to sound like I'm on the radio," but she'll explain that that's not what you're trying to do in a home studio.
Well, and you know, I also do voiceover and stuff like that too. So
cool. All right,
ties it all together.
Yes, and now joining us live in our actual studio, he and his lovely partner Mara have joined us here in L.A.
That's right,
in Burbank, and Jordan Reynolds, welcome.
Cue mouth harp.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't get a mouth harp.
Right. They told me to shut up before.
Roy, there we go.
Then I'm on camera. Go ahead.
Thanks, Roy.
thanks. Yep, finally made it to LA and floundering. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're here. So thank you for and this is my first time in this amazing studio. I'm like, I'm blown away at all the wire. Even me.
It's a lot of wires.
They have a really pimp setup here, so. It's an honor to be here. Well, thank you.
We'll take that as a major league compliment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what brings you to audio expertise.
I don't know how I fell into it either as far as what qualifies me to be here, but I'm grateful. But in short, my background's in IT, so I'm a geek by nature, and that translated well when I wanted to become a voice talent when everyone said, "You have such a nice voice. You should do voiceover." So I actually learned everything about the tech side first, a little way too
the
much.
Cart before the horse kind of thing.
Yep. And
but
then
that was your background.
That was my background, right? And I did the music stuff too. So that helped recording and doing the music production, stuff like that. But I just dived very deep into it and kind of somehow have become kind of I do audio consulting. I've set up people's studios and it's a thing I do on the side, but I'm a voice talent and demo producer primarily. So but I love the audio side too. I can't stay away from it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and you've got this thing about microphones too.
This thing.
Yeah. This thing.
I've been fortunate enough of the
finer points of microphones.
Sure. Like I can't be the. I'm not the guy who can take it apart and be like, ooh, you know, and clean it and do. I'm the guy who can listen and
do that
and say like, oh, I like the top end and that. So I have a good ear. A good enough ear to give some good feedback, and I've been fortunate enough to help co-design a microphone for VoiceOver. So, if that's what you're insinuating, it.
Yes. Okay. What's the mic called again?
It's the Roswell Pro Audio is the company, RA-VO, or Ravo, as George Whittam has coined. So
I'm lazy.
Yeah.
No, it's I have the RA-VO. No, Ravo, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for coming on.
No, thanks for having me. I'm excited. All right,
cool to have you here.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Here's how it's going to work tonight. We have got at least four questions. If somebody has more questions, throw it in the chat room. And I know that Jack Daniel is out there. He's not here tonight, so there's no beer. But he's checking the chat room. If you've got a tech question for our panel, throw it in there. Mm-hmm. But we had four questions submitted prior to tonight's show.
Wow,
so they get priority
to us
and send it to the right address. Even better.
That's the best.
All right. First question. Hello, guys. Again, I'm at a loss. I received a beta program on Thursday from Focusrite Scarlett Solo Studio 2nd Gen. That finally downloaded and installed all the program bundles. I spent 2 days trying to figure out Pro Tools first. Never did. I purchased the software and module because I was told that if I ever hoped to do voiceover professionally, I had to do it out of my own home studio. Absolutely true. I'm just not tech savvy enough to do it. A friend suggested WavePad. I downloaded it and it was working with it immediately. Today I turned on my laptop and have no interface with my Focusrite module, no sound system or mic or USB working, no power to it for my USB port. I uninstalled everything. I downloaded the beta program again. This time it wouldn't install. My whole system is down. Again, I contacted Focusrite and on Saturday, and I'm not able to do anything until someone contacts me today. What do you guys suggest now? I'm totally at a loss on ideas. Anything to help? Thank you for allowing me to vent again. Good night, everybody. And that's our show. No,
Dan will be over to help you next week.
I have a quick question here. Dan, when you were describing the problem, did he say that he was getting no USB power?
Yes.
He said that.
Has he tried any other device in the USB port? Because USBs can blow.
That's a good question.
Not common, but you can have USB bus issues.
Right.
And if he's not getting any power, if the external unit's not talking through the line, it sounds like a USB issue.
Yeah.
More than a routing issue.
Yeah, Cynthia didn't point out whether it's plugged into the USB port of the PC directly mm-hmm. or plugged into a USB hub either. And that's another problem with USB.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It could be underpowered. Yeah.
Right. Have her first try a hub. Actually, the first thing is throw an external drive in there. Just see if the USB is working. If the USB is working, then there's probably not enough power coming out of that single USB port, and she should use a powered hub,
yeah.
And they look, in case anybody wants to know,
like
something like this.
Yeah, notice that this hub's got a USB port that sends the signal into the hub, mm-hmm. and it's got a second cord that's a power port that's dedicated mm-hmm. to powering the hub.
Right.
That powers up rather than pulling the voltage from the computer.
Yeah, and you want to get
a good one. If she's using a tower... Oftentimes, a tower will have USB ports in the front as well as USB ports in the back. The ones in the back are usually a little stronger than the ones in the front.
That's true.
Sometimes. So maybe she could move her USB port to the back of the computer if that's a possibility.
Yep.
Or anyone else notice that she's downloading beta?
That was the thing that I noticed.
I figured it was like a last-ditch effort
could
kind of
be
thing.
Yeah,
but you know,
unless if she's required to.
Yeah. The thing about betas is they're betas, and they're trying to see if they're compatible with all sorts of systems. This might be this might be a very old computer for all we know.
Very old or very new?
Very. Let's see.
I mean, it just doesn't say.
It doesn't say. That's the other thing. More information.
Is it Windows 7? 10,
every time they do an update, the drivers are shot.
Yeah.
That happens.
Right, and that could very well be what it is.
And so, isn't that the reason, those that knows, don't know Windows 10 better than I do, you can confirm this, one of the reasons to use the Windows 10, was it the professional license, is that it allows you to...
Professional, you can turn off some of those updates.
Yes, that's pretty important. I mean, if an update breaks your user interface, I mean, your USB audio interface driver, and you're using the basic version of Windows, I can't remember what they're all called. There's probably a basic, professional. I don't remember all the names. Carrie, if you know, chime in. But
it's more of the home version. It's
home
kind of
version,
kind of similar to the Windows 7 home version, and then the professional, then there's the
roll back and find somebody with a Windows 7 installed disk and do it.
Find them at a garage sale.
If you end up installing Windows 10, you have 30 days to roll it back to 7 without losing anything.
It's like a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. If you get past the 30 days, then you're going to have to...
And God forbid you have to roll back to 8, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah, 8's not much better. 8.1 is tolerable.
So the problem, this is a good question. The problem is we just don't have enough information. Yeah. We don't have enough detail about software versions, Windows versions. Yeah.
But the overwhelming thing is... It's a PC.
No.
I was trying not to say.
But the other thing.
Don't discriminate.
She said anything. She's desperate. That's right. Did she not say that?
That's right. Get a Mac.
No.
All right. The other thing is she's downloading this bundle that she may not need. I mean, you know, they offer it as part of your interface. All right. You can play with it, whatever. But you can get in trouble playing with all those if you don't know what you're doing. You know,
too many bells.
You'll send us the audio and we'll reject it. That's
all. Right.
Too many bells and whistles.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hopefully, Cynthia, that solved your problem. And if not, we'll be hearing from her tomorrow morning. let's see here. Paul Stefano. We were on their podcast this week.
We were interviewed for it.
We were interviewed for the
episode 11 of VO Meter.
VO Meter, yes. Nice. Anyway. Gentlemen, I have a question. I wanted to know from the panel, or you guys individually, what you think of using Universal Apollo Unison channel strips in a professional VO studio. Do you have your same hesitations that apply to a standalone channel strip, or is a plug-in like that better? Well, that goes under the questionable option or purchase of the week category.
Questionable gear purchase.
Yes.
Well, I'll put in my two cents about the Apollo. It's both, at the same time, freaking awesome. It's so amazing. And at the same time, can be really frustrating because of its complexity. And in the best of cases, and in most cases, it just works. You turn it on and it remembers the thing. It remembers its settings from the last session, and everything is exactly the way you left it. And the next time you sit down, it just works. It doesn't always work that way, though. Sometimes you turn it on and the gains are pegged all the way up for no apparent reason. Sometimes it doesn't recall the session that you saved last time and it kind of loses its mind, so you got to recall the session. It's a very, very complicated device that was designed to make engineers happy who wanted to be able to replicate the sound of all of their vintage beloved gear that they either had or own. Or just wanted to let go of all that old analog gear and keep it in a digital format.
And what does that have to do with voiceover?
It has nothing, or depending on how you want to look at it, a lot to do with it. It just depends on how much you rely on front-end processing. That's the processing that happens between the mic and the computer before it gets recorded. That's what I call front-end processing.
Pre-recording processing versus post-processing.
Yeah, and it does that brilliantly. You can even listen to the processing without recording it, which gets people into trouble. Again, too many options, a little bit too complicated. But if it's configured correctly, it's pretty freaking cool. The thing is, it's basically a digital manifestation of actual analog gear. So you still have to have your gain knob set in the right spot, and your thresholds and all those other things have to be dialed in like to a T, or it doesn't end up working quite the way you want it to.
Yeah.
You know, and so front end processing takes a very disciplined delivery to use it properly. You have to know what level you're hitting it at and be consistent. Because if you just set it and forget it, and one day you do a soft dramatic read, and then you're doing a video game read and you're yelling, the compression, everything's going to go completely out of whack. Mm-hmm. And since you're recording the sound as it's processed, if the processing is screwed, you're screwed. You can't undo it.
That's right. It's there printed. Forever.
Yeah, the processing is printed. So that's my two cents on it. But I mean, again, I set them up and I've set them up for a lot of people.
Yeah.
They really are amazing, but they take a little bit of know-how. Who else in this room is using this thing? Jordan.
We have that's one we're using in the booth right now.
Jordan's using one.
Yeah. That's one, and that's what we use in her booth, and then but I use the Army Fireface, which also has processing. It doesn't have plugins, but it has its own processing. I don't use that, but
yeah.
But makes I do use a channel strip.
Pretty bomb-proof, though, because it doesn't have a gajillion plugins that it runs.
Yeah, it's yeah. But Universal Audio, you can run tons of stuff. I mean, you have to get the gain staging just right. I mean, like, I can't... I'm tweaking it. Like, I sometimes have a compressor when I'm using it. mm-hmm. But when I go to a video game read versus just like you demonstrated, it totally... Then it over-compresses. So, unless if you really know what you're doing, it's not the best to utilize those features. Get someone like George... or any of the other people on this panel to set it up for you. But even then, it's still kind of a hit or miss.
It relies on you as a talent to be consistent at your delivery levels.
Yeah.
And then if you're not going to be consistent, if you know you're going to be recording at a lower level, you have to turn up the gain.
Yeah.
And you already are supposed to be doing this anyway with your Scarlett or whatever you're using. Mm-hmm. But you can get away with sort of a more set it and forget it mentality when you're not doing front end processing.
Right.
You know,
I'm not a big fan of front end processing to start with. You know, if it's something you want to screw around with and play with, because we always say, look, go out and play. You know, it's an expensive piece of gear, though. And and does it improve your chances at getting voiceover work because it's going to make you sound like John Hamm? It's not going to happen.
What if a car?
Exactly. Cliff, are you a user also?
I have the accelerator cards. I have two accelerator cards in my tower.
The UAD stuff?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Everything that I have is on board.
Yeah. But what do you use it for?
Yeah, what do you use it for?
Well, me personally?
Yes, you personally.
I'm mixing 30 tracks of audio with VO and sound effects and music. So
exactly.
I use it the way I would have back 20 years ago turned around to the rack behind me as I'm sitting in front of my SSL. I turn around, tweak whatever, the Pultex, the DBX-160s, the 1176s, whatever. So I use it in mixing. If I'm going to do any kind of pre, I'll split tracks. I'll have one track that's processed and I'll have one track that's dry. But most of the stuff that I get in from Voice Talent is processed on their end, you know, minimally. But I use compressions. I use the new Shadow Hills compressor that's beautiful, mastering EQs, all kinds of
Shadow Hills.
The new Millennium EQ NES2 is heaven. But will it make your auditions better? No, not necessarily. But you know, I'm further down the production road than our audience is. Yeah. You know, so
just a bit,
and Roy as well. You know, we're post audio guys. You know, certainly a major portion of our job is pre-production, direction, recording. But really, I think what people come to us for is our post work. Yeah, the finished product.
Roy, when you track a VO in your booth, are you tracking through front end processing or not?
I am, against all the rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you're an engineer, so you're allowed to do that.
We use our ears. We don't over process because you get two chances. We record it, get it. We're going to have it without over processing, and then in post, I always have another parametric EQ and a compressor and a de-esser and maybe RX6 because their new mouth click thing works pretty damn good. I'm happy to say.
Cool.
You audiobook people and long format people, you may have to try this RX6.
RX6 standard.
The standard,
not the cheap one because it doesn't
not
the have
cheap
the
one,
mouth
not the,
click
and not the $1,000 one either.
Right, right.
It's, mm-hmm. I think it's on sale for $300 or something like that. And it's going to save you so many hours. Yes, Isotope.
As far as front end processing, if you guys can look over here, you'll see I've got two Avalon 737s that I do for my front end processing. And I only use the Avalons going to my DAW. I never use them coming off. I'll use all of my plugins and all that stuff.
Otherwise, you'd be recording on.
Looks cool, huh? Looks cool on the rack. That's for sure.
Are you using it for compression mainly?
Everything. I use it for everything. I've got my 416, and I've got a another Paluso microphone that I kind of keep separately. Thank you, Mr. Brad Venable. Mwah. Love you. Miss you. And my 416 is going directly into my Avalon. Output of my Avalon is going directly into line input one on my Pro Tools. So I don't really have anything other than the Avalon in between my DAW and my microphone.
All right, this is getting even too geeky for me.
The dilemma about the changing the software changing itself, inputs going crazy. Sometimes when you're on a Zoom or a Skype or a remote session, the session takes over and starts doing weird things to the levels.
Yes, it does.
To the gain. And that could be where you're losing your presets and things.
Quite possible.
Carrie, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm actually using an Aphex 207D stereo preamp. So it's basically a tube preamp, but it also has a digital interface, which goes right into my Audio Science broadcast card.
Oh, okay. It's AES or optical?
Yeah,
or
it's AES, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
So it'd be nothing analog other than what the mic's plugging into the unit. So
okay. So that's a preamp, but it's not a channel strip with a bunch of other bells and whistles, right?
Actually, I do have a 230 sitting here too.
Oh, God.
Hey, you want to buy my 230?
Those 230s.
I'll buy yours, Roy. You got a 230? I'll take it.
I have some. I'll take it. If anybody wants to buy mine, you know.
I'll take that too.
I actually tube rolled it and put a Mullard gold tube in it from 1980. Ooh. So it's got a nice warm
1980 tubes. It's going to burn out any minute.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I put in a it went from 1962 in the 207D, which gives it a nice.
Do you keep it on all the time?
No.
When do you turn it off and on? You keep it on all the time.
No, I don't.
You power it off.
I do power it off.
How long do you usually let it sit before you're comfortable with using it?
Probably 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Usually. Okay. I've got one of the NOS tubes in there. So, I mean, it made a world of difference compared to the Ruby production tubes that they put in.
The Softex.
Tubes.
Yeah.
I like tubes.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves tubes, but... You know, this is it's great that our experts use all this stuff. But
we're old.
You're old. Okay, we won't go that far. But
some of us are old.
The thing is that you guys have been doing this for a long time, and you know how to use it. This is not stuff you learn how to use overnight. And if you're going to purchase one of these things and put it in your rack, it's going to destroy you.
It can. Yeah. Yeah.
There's one thing nice on this Aphex 207D. It has the mic limb circuitry, which essentially keeps it from, you know, crashing, especially from a digital signal standpoint. But instead of making it, my cat's driving me nuts.
Oh, that's the cat.
he likes Roy laughing eyes. But essentially, the mic limb, what it does is it will keep the peaks from coming over.
So is that a limiter that's right after the mic preamp?
It actually doesn't technically limit. What it does is it actually reduces the preamp input gain.
Really?
That's all it does.
Well, that's very interesting.
It does the input stage,
not the output stage.
Right, the input stage of the mic, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Mm. All right.
So it's very clean. Probably up to about 20 dB.
Yeah.
And you don't even notice it.
Okay. Nice. So what do we think about this thing?
I'm curious.
Lots of cool stuff there.
Curiosity is piqued.
All right. Well, we'll be back with our illustrious panel of audio masters on VoiceOver Body Shop in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology.
This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
All right, the doors are open right now to register for the ACX Masterclass at acxmasterclass.com. Audible just added Canada and Ireland to the U.S. and U.K. as countries whose residents can play on ACX. But don't just play on ACX hoping for the best. Learn how to maximize your profit narrating audiobooks and maximize your studio-to-work hours ratio. The registration closes in just a few days, so go now to acxmasterclass.com. If you act in the next few hours, there's $1,000 worth of early bird bonuses for you that'll go away by midnight. That was last week, so it's gone. Don't wait. Make this year your year to kill it on ACX. Register at acxmasterclass.com. That's acxmasterclass.com. And that's our friends at VO2GoGo, where you can learn just about everything about voiceover. So we hope. All right. Back in a sec.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated, too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
We lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
That's really cool.
After a bumper.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Hey, we've got the VLBS logo behind us and everything. Da, da, da. It's amazing how fast we can change the sets here. You know? And I'm loving the set that George
rolling out. Yeah,
that's right. There we go. Oh, hey, we're Hellraiser for Hollywood. You know, and Jordan's in our wonderful guest suite.
That's right.
Get a shot of him again.
Our office suite.
You know, it's
that's a sweet cigarette. Should start smoking again.
Yeah.
This is a lounge chair, folks.
All righty. Well, we've got our guest, Carrie Donovan, Uncle Roy Yokelson, Cliff Zellman, and
Jordan Reynolds.
Jordan Reynolds is joining us here in studio, and we've got more questions.
I'm going to read this one from Andy Kaufman.
Andy.
And Andy says, for the esteemed roundtable panel. So this must be for next time.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave. I run my TLM-103 mic through an Avalon. Let's assume he's talking about a 737, VT-737-SP Avalon, but it could be an M5 or a V5, which is really nice, too.
Or the Port of Catalina Island.
to my Rocket KRK speakers via a Scarlett 2i2. I've noticed that I have them as a slight humming coming from my speakers when they're powered on. Also, on rare occasions, the speakers, when turned up, can be heard broadcasting local AM radio. Weird, I know. Actually, not that weird, actually. The AM broadcast has happened only rarely, but the hum is consistent. Any suggestions on how to get rid of the hum? Is this the dreaded ground loop? Should I be plugging the speakers directly into the wall, or can I run a power strip? Thanks for everything, guys. That's from Andy Kaufman.
Oh, man.
Who wants to go first?
I can even tackle this one.
Okay, you go first.
Yeah, okay.
And then Go ahead.
Okay.
I was going to make it.
It's
going to be a wise ass. No, please.
Okay.
Answer the question.
Okay.
I can't help it.
Okay. Ground loops. People fear ground loops. They're not really a big problem, especially if you're using a digital interface and you're plugging your speakers right into, especially a 2i2. And I've experienced that myself with my 2i2, that you get a hum every now and again.
And you have Rocket.
I have Rocket 5.
Same speakers, used the same gear.
You know, and I'm like, why is there a hum? It comes down to that there's usually always a little bit of hum back there, about 60 hertz or so. Mm-hmm. But there's an attenuator behind the monitors, and you can turn it down, and you turn it down till you don't hear the hum so much, and then you can turn up the volume from your 2i2. And then it's not as prominent.
So you can kind of mask the hum by changing what we call the gain staging a little bit.
Right.
Turn down the speaker levels, turn up the output of the Scarlett, and it reduces it.
Right.
Still there, but it's probably just very quiet.
You don't even notice it. And then some days it just goes away. Now, AM stations, listen, I've done remotes on radio. And I can remember doing it on a station once, but another station was playing over the cord on my microphone.
Not a good thing.
No, that was not a good
remote. Were they paying for advertising on your station?
They were not. And my station manager was not happy. But usually what that is caused by is probably a faulty connection somewhere or bad shielding.
This is where we can talk about balanced versus unbalanced, maybe.
Maybe. But I think Kerry probably has a good answer for that one.
Well, a nice toroid core on the mic cable might fix it.
A toroid core?
Wrapping the mic. You wrap the core around the mic cable.
Oh, is it a donut shaped thing? And mm-hmm. then you wrap the wire around the donut?
Yeah, to eliminate the RF. Because if it's a situation where the AM station is sitting in your backyard, depending on how strong it is. I mean, I've dealt with RF issues like that, where people were getting the AM on their toothbrush.
Right.
And in their phones and everything else.
Yeah.
And
their molars.
Yeah, we're talking about RFI. RFI, radio frequency interference. So if you've got weird buzzing and actually radio you can hear, it's that on your signal, it's RFI.
If you can actually hear the audio, most likely it's AM. If you hear just a hum and the hum changes as you move the cable around, then it's most likely FM.
Because FM's digital now.
Well, no, it's not, because it's just the way the FM frequency is, because of frequency modulation rather than amplitude modulation.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's multiplexing. And it's a much, much completely different frequency. And carrier frequency.
FM, FM, you're going to be dealing with 50 kilowatts compared to AM's usually, between 1 and 10K.
Gotcha. So. There's some basic things to try too, but Cliff, go ahead.
Has he checked to make sure that he doesn't have any power cords that are parallel to his audio cables?
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be like this, AC and then audio. Try to have them right, exactly, crisscross.
Mm-hmm. Crisscross or perpendicular. So, that can create a dull hum that's just always there, just because you have electric wiring with a 60 mm-hmm. hertz signal, that's AC, running through a wire. And if that's parallel to a microphone cable.
It's coupling.
There's what's called induction. There's an induced signal, and that's hum. Mic cables are designed to not do that. A good mic cable is balanced. And so balancing is designed to stop that from happening. That's the whole point of it. But it's not always perfect. If one of the three pins on your mic connector is dirty, that will kill that. You'll lose the balance.
Or a bad solder joint at the terminal.
Bad solder joint. I would start by just doing the cheapest repair first and change the mic cable. Mm-hmm.
Does the hum also, is the hum also present when you unplug everything? I mean, have your speakers powered up with no input, are you still getting hum? Yeah. Or does that hum come when you plug in?
From what I've noticed, when it happens on my KR case, I will unplug the input and the hum will go away.
Okay.
That's induction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's a good question. Jordan, you're right here in the studio and we're not even listening to you. No, go.
I know. I was speaking in tongues. They weren't putting the camera on me. It was very rude. no, I won't even get into my EMI issue I had in my last studio, which I have since abandoned.
Electromagnetic interference.
Magnetic induction.
Don't miss that.
You know, interference.
Earth interference, like the planet getting into your
shit. You will lose.
What do you do?
Better than EMP, though, which would be an indicator of something much worse.
Right. I know. But assuming this is the radio thing, it could be interference with dirty power, too. I think probably the biggest culprit is what Cliff said. A lot of times a buzz is always caused by the power touching or being too close to your audio cable. But one thing I've tried with success in other people's studios and in my studio, and the price on this thing has gone up, and I think there might be a cheaper way to do it, but is to, and please, anyone who knows electricity better than I do, I'm not an electrician, but is to drop the amperage on either the what's causing the hum, which could be a refrigerator most commonly, or dropping the amperage of your audio interface that's receiving the hum to 10 amps instead of 15. How do you do that? I think there's a cheap way to like a little five. It's like, what's that?
Do you have to call an electrician?
No.
They'll go to your box out in your garage or wherever.
No. There's, I'll put a link in the chat room, but on Amazon, it's called the Smart Home 1626 noise filter. It's $45. I bought it for $20 a few years ago. So clearly,
All it does is null out the RF frequencies.
Yeah, because if there's something, because everything runs on 15 amps in your home, right? Yeah.
This is, it has nothing to do with the amps.
Breakers.
It's actually just a frequency filter.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, I guess so. By dropping it to 10 amps, it's dodging the noise produced by other electronics. That's my understanding of it. Huh. So that could be an easy fix too. So just throwing that into the because that's helped some people's studios and it helped mine to a degree.
And he's tried the 97-cent ground lifts, yeah,
the little three-prong to two-prong adapters.
I think that's the cheap way to do it.
You'll find them in your kitchen drawer.
Safe way.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a waffle burn? Anybody here know what a waffle burn is? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of a waffle burn. A waffle burn is when you're on a live stage and you're playing guitar and you walk up to the SM58 and you put your lips on it and you get a huge discharge of electricity through the mic and into your lips. That's called a waffle.
I was playing guitar in a garage band in high school, playing with my Fender Twin on the concrete. I'm playing my guitar. My girlfriend gets out of the pool barefoot, walks over on the concrete, gives me a kiss, blew me back about 15 feet. Ooh, wow. It was unbelievable. It was either death or love.
And did you marry her? Yeah.
I probably should have. Electricity when the sparks were flying in.
Oh, man.
Barefoot, wet, on concrete, kissing the guy holding the strings. You know? Oh, my God.
It's like an 80s rock music video.
That's basically
pure ground.
What happened? That's because somebody had used a cheater or cut the pin on an extension cord, and now there is no place for electricity to escape into earth ground. So it tries to find a place to escape, and that became your face.
My kisser.
Through your feet and into the pool. Not fun. Yeah.
Rock my face.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I'll say on this, because noise is insidious.
I like
but,
that.
There's a mic cable, style of mic cable you can find. Look for something called a quad. I think it's called a quad core mic cable.
Yeah, the quad. Yeah, like Canair cable.
Yeah, Canair, Canare.
You can also get the double shielded, especially if you have RF issues.
Yeah, look for double shielded.
I use that a lot in my radio studios.
Good. Well, there you go. Star quad or ground, a double shielded mic cable. That's your, if all else fails. No, I mean, I wouldn't say if all else fails. If you only need one really good mic cable, go buy a $40, $50 quad mic cable.
Get you a good Mogami cables.
Mogami, Canary, yeah.
Canary, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Let's see here. This is the one everybody's been waiting for.
Really?
Yes. It's a great question from Greg. He says, how important is order when applying processing to voice files? For example,
order!
EQ, then order compression, then expansion, etc. Do you use noise reduction before or after you've applied your processing? I want to go to Uncle Roy first on this because I know he's got some thoughts on it.
The order is very important. I always put a high pass filter on first because some of the major plosives, the really low ones, if you put a high pass filter on it, some of those spikes that you see when you go to normalize, they're actually just plosives. So let's get rid of those first, then normalize. And I do noise. If I do noise reduction, it's before compressing, but I do very mild, you know, yeah, just enough to get it under 60. I don't want to hear the noise reduction, but it really has to be. I have my own sequence of high pass, normalize,
The rest is proprietary information, and if you'd like to get the help from Uncle Roy,
please call, just visit antlandproductions.com. Then noise reduction, then compression, then de-essing, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Cliff sounds pretty close to what I would do.
Yeah.
Cliff.
Well, I usually don't use any kind of noise gating if I can help it. And if I do, my range is maybe 20 dB. You know, I do not want to hear it. Now, the only thing that I'm really adamant about, and of course there's, you know, all kinds of situations, but I will always compress first, then EQ, because an EQ is simply a boost and gain for a specific frequency or specific neighboring frequencies, depending upon how wide your slope is. So if you're boosting 1K, and you've got a wide slope, you're talking a little 800, a little, you know, 13, whatever. So if you use a compressor, which is gain dependent, which means the more gain, the more compression you'll have, usually. If you put your EQ first before your compressor, every time you make an EQ compression, you're changing your gain, and that will change your compressor. So get your compression level set first. Then run your EQ, and any of your EQ settings aren't going to mess with your compression ratios. So that's really what I do. As far as de-essing, I hand de-ess. I don't use a straight de-esser. I'll go back, I'll highlight, I'll lower using clip gain with Pro Tools or a volume graph, but I don't trust a de-esser when it comes to automatic. You know, set it and forget it, de-essing. I can set and forget compressions, set and forget EQ, but certainly not de-essing. So I prefer not even to use it at all and just do it by hand.
I want
to
throw...
And really, I'm talking 30-second, 60-second spots.
Yeah,
so exactly. To hand de-ess a 30-second spot...
Not a big deal.
It takes me a minute. You know, you can see it, boom, 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 next. Uh-huh. And that way, it's written... I'm actually changing the wave if I'm using clip gain. So I'm actually raising or lowering the actual volume of the recording rather than just a volume graph, which is a fader. So compress first, EQ later.
I want to throw in there that gain is very important if you're running a stack, if you're running a compressor. The thresholds and those settings are based on your sound file being at a certain gain.
Yep. Yes.
So you can't just run a stack without either normalizing to whatever the threshold has been calibrated to. The stack isn't going to work.
That's the same reason why front end processing is so critical, because if you don't set that gain, you're not going to get, it's just not going to work correctly. And so when you're using stacks or any kind of a preset that's been provided to you or by for you, you have to get those levels calibrated right before you go through the processing. I would, Uncle Roy said, that's pretty much the sequence I do things. And yeah, I totally agree with Cliff on the compressor before equalizer. Jordan, how about yourself? You kind of
like, what do I do or what would I recommend?
Two very different things.
As they say, you have to know the rules before you can break them, right?
Yeah, sure.
I agree with... pretty much with most of what they were saying in order things, especially on compression first, then EQ.
Yeah.
Especially, but I'm so nerdy that I do my EQ cuts where I'm reducing stuff like a high pass filter first, the very first thing.
Uh-huh.
If I can do that on the way in through processing, I will.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the only processing I will tend to do. Not even compression on the way
front in. End processing.
Front end or processing.
On
yeah.
the way in. Yeah.
As much as I love back end.
Yeah.
But the sorry, I'm 14.
We won't go there.
but the where was I? Front end. All right, so high pass filter there, and then and then a little mild compression if I use it, and then EQ boost after that because of what Cliff said, and then de-essing. Everything just very mild.
Yeah.
And that's all I would recommend. Like if I set up a stack for someone, for example, that's the order I'll tend to just do. Cut the EQ, compress, maybe. I usually don't even have that in there. boost EQ, DS a little bit. And as far as noise reduction goes, I'm only, you know, if you have a good studio, a good quiet studio, you shouldn't need it. But if you're on the road in a hotel room, even if you turn off the AC, put a towel on the floor, do everything you can, there's still going to be noise that gets in, ambient noise. Yeah. I will record at a hot level, like as hot as I can get, and get as much noise in there. Or if I don't record hot, I'll normalize it to like negative 0.5, okay. right, to get it as hot as possible. So there's as much noise in there for the noise denoising software like RX 6 now, detect. Like the denoiser, or the Waves NS1 is a great one too.
Yeah.
So it can have enough noise to listen and see.
NS1 is great.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what I do in hotel rooms because I can't stand how much noise gets in it.
Yeah.
So
I was very impressed with the NS1, by the way.
I am too. Because it's automatic.
It's like, that's it.
Yeah.
By the way, also let me throw in, yes, I totally agree on high pass filter before anything. Get rid of the garbage before you start doing anything. Roy, will you tell us what a high pass filter is? Because I'm not too sure what those are.
it lets those high frequencies through, but really what we're talking about is it's a low cut filter and it gets rid of your room rumble. And
what frequencies would those be?
Under 80.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to say 75 and below, but 80 and below. Because you don't in voice recording, you don't need that.
Even if you're Dave Hanoi,
you don't need.
You don't need book him.
That's my audition. You don't need those low frequencies, and if the voice is going to cut through a music track, you definitely don't need those low frequencies. They just make mud.
Yeah, so. They make mud. Yeah. They make mud.
In fact, that's the first adjustment that you can actually make to make your audio sound good is using a little bit of high pass.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, do that before anything. The women get rid of the stuff that you don't want.
The women can go from, you know, like 100 and below because they have even less low end to.
Right. In
Yeah.
Nobody said a limiter.
Good.
In their chain.
Well, I do use a limiter.
Does anybody limiting is excessive compression.
Right.
Basically.
But how about if you use it as a makeup gain at the end of your stack to just pump up the
transmitter,
level a
the again. Transmitter is going to catch.
I've done it.
Yeah. Carrie, what do you say about that?
Do you ever do any of this stuff, Carrie?
No limiter.
No brick wall limiting, huh?
Yeah. Let's just
it depends on the spot.
Zero. Come on. That's what the program directors want.
But it depends on the spot, though. Yeah, you know, if you're doing a high energy spot and you really want that sound of the limiter, then you use it as a creative tool.
Sure.
Right.
But if you want an effect, that's different.
Yeah. If you're doing Sunday,
right.
Yeah, you're going to need that.
Limit that guy. Cut out a Sunday.
By the way, Sundays. Everybody, when they say it's all over Sunday, it really is. Trust me. It really is all over
Sunday. The automotive god himself.
All right. I mean, for those listening to the show on podcast, anybody watching the show, you're all hearing the same exact processing. We're using a lot of processing to do the show because I don't feel like having to leap over and grab the gain control when Dan or I laugh. So we're using compression at the wazoo, and then we're using a lot of limiting as well because we want to get the levels that go out on the air, quote unquote, nice and hot. We don't have the luxury of an Orban or some super expensive processor.
Yeah, that fancy XR18 there.
Yeah. It's got a lot of power, but we don't have that final ability to pump up the level really hot before it goes out. So we are using limiting quite a lot.
Well, right. What does Andrew do?
Andrew,
he's on Facebook. Look at him. What are you doing?
You just called him out.
No, Andrew is a man.
See, there's a reason there's the doors there, so we can't see what he's doing.
I know. he's running his machine, man. I don't want that job.
Time for a break?
It is definitely time for a break, and we've got a few more questions from our actual audience that is watching the show live, and Jack threw them into our show notes, and we will address those to our esteemed panel right after this.
Here's a question for you. Do you know what your audition to booking ratio is? As in, the client for approvals. How about which ones you've invoiced but haven't been paid yet? Do you know how much you booked this month compared to last month or last year at the same time? Yeah. These questions might make your head spin.
You might say, I'm a voice actor, an artist. I don't have a head for business, and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to figure out how to keep track of auditions, bookings, who hasn't paid me yet, and when was the last time I booked with that guy anyway? That's why we built voiceoverview.com, a simple way to track, manage, and grow your voiceover business. Because after all, it is a business. VoiceOverview was built by voice actors for voice actors. Check it out today and start tracking your voiceover business. VoiceOverview.com, your voiceover business made simple.
It's important to let your significant others know you are recording or doing some critical editing, and that you need some quiet and understanding for what is usually a fairly short period of time. Whether it's something as simple as a piece of cardboard scrawled with a Sharpie message saying, recording, or a high-tech multicolor LED VO recording sign like one you can get from us at voiceoveressentials.com. So, it's something that will help you with your relationships. Now, show them that beautiful sign there, Andrew. I know there's a video of it somewhere. Yeah, you don't have the video. Go to the audience cam, and you'll see it right over the lovely Maruzuno's shoulder there. No, your left shoulder. Above your head and over your left shoulder.
She has two lefts, okay?
Yes. Right. Yeah, there it is right there. You can see the voiceover sign there. And you put that outside your door, and it will save your relationships because it says, hey, I'm working.
Without saying,
hey, I'm working. That's right. Just go over to voiceoveressentials.com. And just go to the bottom of the page if you're watching it on our homepage here and click on the picture of Harlan Hogan talking into his portal booth. And then just say, hey, I want one of those. And he will send it to you. And they're fabulous. I've got two. You know, one outside the door, one on the inside, because it just looks cool. It
looks really cool.
Yeah. It would have been great last week for Father's Day or Mother's Day or whatever. But go over to voiceoveressentials.com and buy one because everybody should have one.
Birthdays, bar mitzvahs,
wedding gifts.
Do you know any 12-year-olds who are doing voiceover?
Yeah, probably.
At their bar mitzvah.
In this neighborhood? Absolutely.
Actually, around here, you're probably right.
All right. Okay, we'll be right back with more of your questions.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology,
business,
and good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
And we are back. It's our Audio Masters Roundtable. This one's going great.
It is going great.
I mean, it is not a technical issue at all.
I can get used to this.
I know. It's like...
That's because the three of us are here, the four of us.
I know. The Zoom looks great. Yeah. It looks like we're all over the place here.
We're having a lot of fun with it. Yeah. Thanks for everybody. All of you guys have been watching the show live and being here live with us. Thank you so much for
hanging out with us.
Because we've had, definitely had our share of some technical issues. And part of it is wanting to be on the cutting edge or the bleeding edge of what we do. Part of it's wanting to improve things.
Edge.
And part of it has just been hardware failure. And it's been quite frustrating. So we've gotten it to a point where it's running along pretty nice. So we're really happy about that. Hey, we got audience questions.
We do. Let's rip through them, though. We'll give them one person gets to answer each one.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good. Yeah, because it's 7:13.
It is. All right. Yeah, we started almost on time.
I know.
Larry Hudson asks, looking for a simple recommendation. Looking for a small mixing board so I can plug two microphones in and easily be able to switch between mics.
Guys, Jack here. For Larry's question, I have two good recommendations. The SES XLR AB passive mic switch from Sescom and the Sound Tools mic switcher. Both are dead quiet and allow you to run two mics with a quick passive switch. A little editorial there from Jack Daniel, I believe.
Yeah.
Who should we assign this question to tonight? How about Carrie?
Carrie, that's where I was going.
Yeah, Carrie's the switcher.
You mean like that? Okay, right now I'm on the BCM-104, and now I'm on the 416.
So how did you do that? And how did you do that so smoothly without a click or a pop or anything? That worked really well.
Or phantom power glitches.
Yes. Tell us.
Because it's feeding analog audio to the Mackie mixer.
Okay.
Let me switch over to the other feed here.
So you're running two mics.
Here's the studio. Okay.
And two cameras, too. Wow.
So I have two cameras. Here's the mixer. So I can just, right now I'm on the 416.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm on the 104.
Okay, so you're doing it on the board. You're actually
I'm doing it on the board, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm just switching between sources.
Okay.
So I just do that. Or if you want to have both mics on at the same time, you could do that.
Boy, it's loud.
Yes, it's really loud that way. So, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to have that capability of running two different mics simultaneously or switching them smoothly, a mixer is the way to go.
Yeah, for sure. And what I can do with mine, since I'm feeding through the Aphex stereo preamp, it feeds digital right into Adobe, mm-hmm. and I can put both mics, one mic on each channel.
Oh, very nice.
Record at the same time.
Very nice.
It says he's mostly interested in a board solution.
Okay, well, yeah. the board solution, yeah, go ahead.
A simple Mackie or whatever, you know.
Even a Mackie 403 has two mic inputs and a quarter inch for your, playback of your computer.
Don't need much.
Yeah, the 402. I was going to say the 802 because it has an auxiliary send, which can come in really, really handy.
Like for a phone patch.
Yeah, if you need to do a mix minus or something.
What about the AG06?
The AG06 is kind of an interesting hybrid of a mixer and an audio interface. It's a really interesting beast. On the one hand, it's just an audio interface. So channel one is left, channel two is right. If you record dry tracks. there it is. Oh, you have the AG06 over there. What are you using it for? Using it for the show tonight?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
It's awesome. Yes, it is. It's beautiful. It is awesome.
And what's unique about it is you can either record the two mics independently and have it like a left and a right, mm-hmm. or you flick a switch and then you're running it like an actual mixer. And so you actually are recording both mics at the same time, mixed together. So that's actually a pretty cool unit, too, for that.
Yeah.
And then it has the loopback.
Right.
Which is pretty unique.
Great for podcasting and stuff
For playback.
And if you're doing a session.
If you're a guitar player or keyboard player, there's a second channel that has a virtual amplifier in it. That sounds like a Soldano amp going through a bunch of Marshalls. It sounds great.
Oh, cool.
There's all kinds of presets that you can do. And it's not... presets act, it's not just reverb on off, limit on off, it actually comes up on your screen and you can adjust all the parameters as if it was a plug-in. I think it sounds amazing. It weighs nothing, and if you're going on the road you can stick it in your back pocket almost. And it runs off of USB power.
Yep.
And not expensive.
From your computer, so you don't need it. No, I bought mine. I had a $50 gift card.
Wow.
And so I got paid $150 for it.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Water, got it.
It's amazing tech.
I love it.
You are running through front-end processing on that if you're using the DSP, so keep all everything we said about front-end processing applies. But you can use it without the DSP.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You can switch. And it's very, very clean. It's got headphone outputs. It's got monitor outputs. It's powerful.
I like that it has a dedicated headphone volume and a separate monitor volume. Yep. A lot of small boards don't have that.
And they fit a lot of stuff in those Yamahas. Yeah, they're pretty complicated. Like, if you don't know what you're doing, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah. Get a little help if you need it.
I love mine. Devox, who's apparently able to watch the show tonight.
Yay, Devox.
All the way over there in Japan. He says, speaking of de-essing, when I look at sibilance on my voice, it's centered around 3.4 or 3.5K. But that seems to be too low for de-essers to do anything about. They mostly focus around 6 or 8K. I can't seem to do anything about it without taking too much life out of what... how about a period there? What can I do about it? Asking about software apart from mic technique, not compressing too much. That's an Uncle Roy question.
I find that the frequency is closer to 7 to 50
for sibilance.
Now the cliff way is to find the S's, go in, highlight them, tell it minus 6 or whatever you do, and do them by hand. So it's just it's not frequency, it's the whole whatever set of frequencies those are, which include the mid-range, upper mid-range, and the highs. So if you're having trouble doing it at the mid-range frequencies that you think, either try 7,000 as a center frequency. And if that doesn't work, then go with Cliff's method, which I use all the time anyway.
the yes or no.
Here's another thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Here's another thing that's really neat that I found out about sibilants. A lot of the times it's not the volume, it's the length of the S.
Oh, yeah.
So if you shorten, for example, when you look at a sibilant, it'll look kind of like this, right? This is what it looks like. It goes out like that. So if you cut out
the middle
yep. and make that S shorter, wait, line it up. There we go. Make that S shorter. It actually removes the sibilance because you're not hearing S, you're hearing S,
which is what you want to hear. A lot of times in delivery, when you're emphasizing a word and it went slowly and the S turns out to be longer,
longer.
We still hear the emphasis even if you cut that middle out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a really neat way because the middle is going to be the peak of the signal.
Yeah.
Because the front is the attack and the end is the decay and release. So the peak of that signal is going to be right in the middle. So if you can cut out this much of that much of an S, chop it out, stick it together. If you're using Twisted Wave, it'll do it for you automatically. If you're using Pro Tools or any of the other little more complex, you'll have slip or shuffle that you can use to close it up automatically. And removing half of the S really, really helps without having to do any electronics.
That trick also works for breaths, shortening breaths that are just too long. You can make them.
I do automotive. I don't do breaths with automotive. There are no breaths.
So much for the one expert, one answer. A rapid fire.
You can't help it.
I know.
I know D-Box said he was looking for a software plugin. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any total magic, but Jordan, I saw your hand.
I like the Waves DS-er, you know.
Waves.
I
like Jordan, what do you like for DS-er?
The most affordable, I'm sure there's some free ones out there, but the most affordable one is by Tone Boosters. I believe it's in their Essentials pack, which I think is, at least a year ago, it was about $35 or $40. Okay. Bucks. And it comes with a whole slew of plugins, and they're awesome for the price. But there's a de-esser in there, and I know that you can go all the way down to like 2K.
Oh wow!
Because there's a lot of sibilance build up between 2 and 3.5K
range.
Yeah, and you can go all the way up to like 10K on it. And there's a cool listen feature to where you can just keep looping the S, put listen on, and then dial the frequency. And then as the S gets louder, you know that's where your particular sibilance resides.
That's really helpful.
That's my favorite cheap.
Great de-essers, the Fab Filters. Fab Filter de-esser is.
It's just not as affordable, but they're great.
No, it's not so affordable, but hey, it's your career, guys. Come on. This is your job. This ain't a hobby.
Tracy Reynolds, speaking of low pass and high pass filters, what cutoff frequencies do you like? We did mention this a little bit earlier, but I guess this is very much a depends thing. Because earlier we were talking about 100 hertz for women. I've run high-pass filters on a woman's voice up as high as sometimes 120.
Yeah, I go 200.
And I've run over 100.
Yeah.
And it mainly because sometimes it has to do with correcting for room problems. If their booth is really boomy and muddy, it's just very resonant, then I'll run it a much higher high-pass filter than I normally would, or a low-cut filter, which is kind of the inverse, but means, well, no, it's not the inverse. It's the same thing.
It's a high pass.
You either let the high stuff through or you cut the low stuff. It's the same idea.
Right.
For me, it's very much dependent on the input signal. But if you're a guy, if you started at 80, you're pretty safe there.
Mm-hmm.
And women, 100 or so, you're pretty safe at not losing too much of the low end.
The high cut aspect of it is really only if something is so bright and so harsh, then I put that on and I keep nudging it. There's no formula. You have to use your ears you can slide it down until that problem goes away.
Yeah, high pass filters is removing high end. And sometimes a little bit of that can help.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. This is great because all of the questions tonight were submitted by our audience.
I know.
Which is fabulous.
Every one of them tonight. Were emailed in, and then we've had some come in from the chat room.
Makes it a lot easier for me. Last question tonight, though, and this one is even one I'm interested in. Does an audition, this is from Cynthia Eckert Sayre.
Mm-hmm.
She says, does an audition have to be broadcast ready to be accepted? How does someone who's never produced learn? This is all way too advanced for me.
We get it.
Yes, we know. We understand. Yeah. And it takes.
That's why we're here.
And, I was actually counting. There is probably 160 years of audio engineering
probably
expertise.
More than that, just between me and Roy.
hey, look, there's six of us. It added up after a while.
But,
and it takes a long time to learn this. and you've got to know exactly what it's supposed to sound like. And sometimes you hear terms like broadcast ready. What does that mean? You're not going on the radio onto the, you know, right over the air from what you're doing from your home studio.
I think part of the question has to do with, in an audition, should you process and make it sound kind of like a final product?
It depends.
Is it acceptable if it's more accepted?
If it's done, well, if it's done properly so that the client hears it and says, oh, yeah, I can hear that as being final.
Well, I guess we're going to be really, really literal. Does an audition have to be broadcast ready to be accepted? No, it does not. An audition doesn't have to be broadcast ready. It just has to be you and sounding clean and clear and sound like you.
Right.
That's what they want. But what they think they want isn't necessarily what they want. Sometimes they think they want it without anything on it. But what they're hearing is a whole lot of voice actors who have already put really a little bit of something on it.
Right.
To bring up the levels or beef it up a bit using STAX, which is a twisted wave processing protocol. Or Rax, which is Audition, or a template from Pro Tools, or anything, a chain in Audacity, whatever it is. And so, you know, there's kind of been, and I will take the blame partly for doing this. I have been setting up stacks for people and like these processing presets for voice actors for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. So there are a ton of voice actors out there who are auditioning using some processing. So if you're not using any, if it's just your mic going in, maybe a normalizing and that's it, yours may not have quite the same pop or cut or whatever you want to use, the attention-grabbing factor.
But it depends on what the audition is.
You know,
if it's for a subtle read, you're going to want to make it loud enough that they can hear the subtlety of a quiet voice, but you don't want to overdrive it. And that's some of the stuff that we've been seeing a lot of. What do you use, Jordan?
And what
auditions for auditions?
Too you
use
much.
Some processing on auditions?
Yeah,
quite a bit. Yeah,
a little less now that our setup has kind of been downsized for temporarily. But but what I normally use is I'll do decrackler a lot because you know the mouth clicks drive me nuts.
Yeah.
I will do. It's pretty much what I said earlier. A little bit of high pass filter. Actually, I don't compress anymore now. Mm-hmm. I probably will once I get my booth set up in my studio. But it's just de-essing mostly because the S's can be a little harsh. And of course, I always normalize. And that's pretty much all I'm doing now just because I have so much volume to turn around.
Right.
But the important note I will say, and Mary and I both can attest to this, is on jobs that we booked from auditioning from home and then we record from home live with those new clients. We've heard time and time again, they said, not only your performance sticked out, which is what matters the most at the end of the day, let's face it, but the cherry on top is that your quality was really good. Like I cannot, your audio quality stood out. And now is that because it's all the processing? No, it's more because we got a good sounding room with a clean mic clean and that's what it comes path, down to.
Yeah.
The little bit of processing, that's just me, because I can't help it.
Yeah.
I just have to. I have to touch it inappropriately. You know.
Cliff, don't you think Jordan has a built-in compressor?
I think Jordan's gut definitely has that built-in decapitator.
I mean that.
10 to 1.
So you don't need it. So you don't need it.
No, you've got this. And going through your
it's called allergies.
Oh no! Don't laugh, Jordan. I mean, when we did a roundtable and you used the RAVO.
Yeah.
Over. And I think we had like a Zoom room, I think, back then. Man, it sounded amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It better sound good on my voice. On the one.
Well, everything has sounded amazing tonight, which is fabulous. I say we go around the room really quick. If somebody has a last word for all of their folks out there.
One important do or one important don't.
Don't.
Pick one.
Let's start with Carrie. We haven't heard from her in a little bit.
Haven't heard from me. You mean as far as
a do or a don't?
A do or a don't. I mean, essentially, my setup is I run the low cut on my Aphex pretty much on all the time. Then do a quick little high pass. If I have to do any noise reduction, I'll do a little bit of that. Throw in just a tiny bit of compression, maybe 3 or 4 dB at the most, just enough to level it out, and then give it the final normalize, and everything's good.
Cool. That's it. Do you have like a parting shot for us to say, this is something you should always do, or something that you should never do when you do a voiceover recording?
Yeah, don't use compression when you're doing your voiceovers.
Yeah. Just in other words, when
directly.
Don't record through a compressor.
Right.
No.
Gotcha.
Okay. Cliff?
Do's or don't. Well, I'll tell you what. I got one thing that I think is maybe important. There's something that I kind of feel bad about. And I feel bad about a lot of the newcomers that are coming into voiceover that are missing out on what I call the thrill of the hunt. And a lot of people are going on Facebook, going on social media, and asking very, very broad questions. What kind of mic? What kind of compressor? What kind of DAW? What kind of this? What kind of that? What kind of that? Basically, what they're getting in response is a list of what people use.
Right.
We all know, and George, thank you for bringing this up. What was your line? A decision by committee?
Doing tech support by committee can be maddeningly frustrating and very time-consuming.
So what's happening
is to put it.
Because social media is so fast and it gives people instant gratification. I want to know what kind of mic. Bam. Okay. Boom, boom, boom. But what's happening is that people that do this are really missing out on really the fun part. And that's the discovery. And that's staying up till 4 a.m. and reading the bulletin board services and learning about stuff on your own rather than just saying, I'm up against a brick wall. What do I do? Well, you know what? Half of the fun, and especially when it comes to engineering, you know, is figuring it out. It's a puzzle. Let's find out, you know, about this stuff firsthand rather than just asking a question. Lately, I've been saying, you know, responding basically, before you talk about your budget, what are your needs? Second, go to Sweetwater Catalog. You know, pick three. And then figure out what you need and what you're going to buy. But it's really, you know, getting these questions and these answers so quickly, really missing out on the discovery, which I've always loved, and I've always thought that was a whole lot of fun. So, wow, oh, this does this, and this works with this, and you know, finding stuff out and then asking questions rather than just going in with no idea. Hey, what do you use? Okay, you use 416. Okay, I'll use 416. Why? Why am I going to use 416? You know, answer those questions first. Know what your needs are, and then discover and consult your Sweetwater catalog.
Uncle Roy. Everything.
Mine was going to be sort of a cautionary tale or word, which in some ways sparked tonight's meeting. And that is, and it has to do with social media as well, be careful of who you take advice from. We've gotten a lot of audio into the Wovo approval process where people said, well, somebody set me up with a stack, or somebody told me to buy this equipment or set it up this way, and they sent it in and it sounds like crap. And we didn't want to name names, but there are some people who are, you know, excellent directors and producers and demo people, but they should stay out of the tech side of things. That's not what they do. That's not what they know. Oh, so-and-so set me up with a stack. It sounds like crap. Or the person didn't follow the right sequence or didn't have the right amount of normalization.
The details.
Back on the details.
Right.
It's, listen, we know we're having steak. How do you want it seasoned? How do you want it done? It's all about details. Our business is all about details. That's what makes us, each one of us, individual and better than the other one. It's about our details.
Yeah.
So be careful, damn it.
Done an awful lot of mopping up in the past couple of weeks.
It keeps us in business, but that's
that's part of it.
But that's not what we're here for.
Yeah. Jordan? Do and a don't.
It's do and a don't.
Or do fine. Do or
a how don't. About a don't?
A don't?
Go for it.
A don't.
No. I can't think of a do it right now. Well, I actually it is kind of a don't. Don't. And don't be afraid to invest in your career. To be more specific, when I came into this, I didn't have all the money in the world. You know, most of us didn't. We didn't have 10 grand to blow on gear and training and all that. But that 10 grand, if you will, added up over time. This business, the voiceover business, it doesn't, you don't have to, the cost to get in and start making money is very low compared to most other entrepreneurial endeavors, arguably. You get most people already have a computer. You just buy some gear. Is so affordable now. It can sound so good so quickly. But one thing that I see people online doing is they obsess over which, you know, $50 piece of software to get for weeks, you know, just effing buy one and try it, or get a demo, or, you know,
right. They all have 30 day trials and stuff.
Yeah. And it goes back to kind of what Cliff was saying. You've got to go jump into it. And then just another example, like connectivity methods, like, oh, should I get IPDTL or Source Connect and ISDN? I know they're all very overwhelming and they're very technical, but they're all used in kind of different ways. So Mara and I have, even before we knew each other, ran our businesses in a similar fashion to where, you know what, I'm going to figure out, like, I'll put this on a credit card right now. And you know why? Because it's going to make myself more available to more clients who use different platforms. So, and I'm going to get a nicer mic because I don't have to worry about. So the point being, try not to, if get creative. If you don't have the money, what can you offer someone who can give you, you know, in exchange for a demo or some voiceover training if you need training? Just try to think outside the box instead of dollar terms, because I see so many people held back for years, and myself included, from being so afraid to just spend where this particular dollar here and there needs to be spent. So yeah. So go in debt for voiceover.
Go into debt. That's for voice.
Yeah. Well, great bumper sticker.
Very, very limited niche type of bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to thank all of our amazing panel. Kerry Donovan, thanks for joining us tonight.
How, where can we get a hold of you?
Yeah. Kerry? Oh, yeah, Kerry. Where can we get a hold of you?
Where can you get a hold of me?
Around the waist.
Kerryvoice.com is my website. Or do you want the phone number or what?
No, just your email.
1-800.
Unless you're willing to put out your phone number.
You'll be staying up all night.
Kerry at kerryvoice.com. That's my email.
K-E-R-R-I.
K-E-R-R-I. Yes.
Thanks, Kerry.
No, there is like 12 different ways to spell it. Yes, everybody seems to spell it Cliffy. A different way. And
Cliff, how do you want people to find you when they're looking for...
Well, my 24/7 always follows me around everywhere I go is Kalifu, Kalifu, at airmail.net.
Which is Mandarin for what?
For Cliff.
Okay.
Uncle Roy.
Mandarin means
antlandproductions.com or antlandprods, shamefully, at AOL.com.
That's
shamefully. Yeah, you know, I think AOL is getting cool again. Yeah, it's been around so long. Yeah. Jordan.
It's vintage email, bro.
Yeah.
Vintage email.
you find me at jordanreynolds.com, and for demo stuff, demoswithchops.com.
All righty.
Well, Dan, how about you?
Me?
We didn't plug ourselves.
We didn't. Hey, you need help with your home studio? We're the guys to talk to. You can find me at homevoiceoverstudio.com or Dan at danleonard.com.
And I am available at edgestudiotechnology.com. That's where everything that I have to do with VO, my whole world is there.
Right. And there it is, right below us.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here in just a second. Thanks again to all our guests. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Thanks for joining us once again for another episode of VoiceOver Body Shop. Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Well, now's my chance to share you guys wisdom about one of our wonderful sponsors. Been a sponsor for quite a while, and that's Source Elements. They're the creators of Source Connect, which we did mention earlier tonight. Source Connect is a really fantastic way to connect to other studios with very high audio quality, very consistent audio quality, which is something that really sets Source Connect Standard and Source Connect Pro apart from a lot of the other systems that are out there that use things like Google Chrome. Source Connect is its own standalone software, and it doesn't require or doesn't depend upon a web browser to make sure that it's functioning. And the problem with relying on a web browser is it can update and break stuff without you realizing it, and that can be a problem. Source Connect runs on its own. The other thing is the web browser-based softwares vary in audio quality based on the internet connection. Source Connect doesn't do that. If the signal is not strong enough, the signal simply drops. And engineers, while that's not a great thing to have happen, it guarantees consistent audio quality while it buffers and then it picks up the audio again. So that's a reason why Source Connect is really preferred by the pros as a way to connect studios. If you want to give it a try, go over to source-elements.com and sign up for a 15-day free trial. You don't have to have the little iLock USB key to use it. You just have to have a free iLock account to activate the software on your Mac or Windows computer. So give it a try today and let them know that we sent you over here at VOBS. We'll be right back to wrap up the show.
You're still watching VOBS?
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that? That is BS about VO. And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
All right, let's clean this up.
Yes, sir.
We've done a lot of mopping up tonight. Next week on this show, I'll be returning from WovoCon in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And joining me on my ride back and then into the studio is our good friend Joe Davis, who is the founder of VoiceOver View and VoiceActorWebsites.com. And he knows a lot of stuff about making your website and your business sing. So that'll be really interesting. And he's a great guest.
Mm-hmm.
July 3rd, no show. We're going to do, it's the 4th of July time.
I feel like I've been doing 3 shows a week for the last month because of all the tech support and the updates and everything else. I've been here entirely too often.
Yeah. Then on July 10th, the VO doctor, Bill Holmes, will be here with a cocktail shaker, I hope.
Right on.
Let's see. Who are our donors of the week?
Well, we got a new one, I believe, from Tracy Reynolds. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
She is a sustaining donor. We appreciate that. And then we've also got one coming in that's showing up in my feed here from Trey Mosley. Hey, Trey.
Trey is in Atlanta. Great guy.
Yeah, super nice guy.
Trey.
And he's not just a super nice guy because he donated to the show. He's just a super nice guy.
He is. I can attest.
Yeah. Eric Aragone.
Thanks, Eric.
Very, very consistent supporter of the show every single week. Every episode he donates. Thank you. Philip Sapir.
Yep. Thank you, Philip. He's been with us for a while. Thanks, Philip.
And we've got one coming in from, this is still current, I believe. This one comes in from, that's a sponsorship.
So okay, we won't talk about
that. Yeah, Michael Martin. Thank you, Michael. Michael's been a supporter of the show for a long time. So thank you so much for all of your donations that keep this show going. That little bit of extra beyond what the sponsors provide us
helps
get us little helper tools, things to improve the show.
And look at the results.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous. It sounds gorgeous.
It's getting better and better.
Better and better and reliable. Everything worked like
feeling
that
good
tonight.
About it.
Gotta
feeling
love it. All righty. What are you up to over at Edge?
Well, if you want to find out what I'm up to, just like I said earlier, edgestudiotechnology.com. And the latest thing that I've been really wanting to let people know about is my, well, I told you guys a bit about it tonight, but my stack building services. I'm very sensitive to the genres that your voice acting, your auditions are going to be used on, you know, whether it's IVR or, some sort of telephony or a video game, audiobooks, commercial narration, radio imaging, whatever. I'm very sensitive to what those genres are. And so if you really want to make sure your auditions, and in some cases, your actual jobs that you send out have the same processing, rely on me to make sure that that processing is set up correctly for you to make your own stacks. So if you want to do that, you can go over to edgestudiotechnology.com and click on the Working Pro link at the top there. Are you a working voiceover? And if you click on that, it'll take you to the page where my stack and racks audio processing preset services are located. And that's really the thing that I'm most interested in keeping people aware of, because it really benefits a lot of voice actors and has benefited many, many voice actors to keep them competitive.
All righty. Show logs. Get the show logs right here. And thanks to Jack DeGaulle if you're doing that. Podcast. A lot of people listen on the podcast and they can get that on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, ewabs.podbean.com, and just about anywhere else you can find podcasts, yeah. I imagine.
It's all over.
Yeah. Take our survey, and if you want to be in the studio, open up that amazing new audience cam there, Andrew. There it is. All right.
It's Whoa. Beautiful.
Wow. It Whoa. Shows you the vast expanse so of our studio cameras. Here.
If you had any idea the work it took to get that one camera working.
And now it's there, and it was worth every second. Let's see here. If you want to be in the audience, all you have to do is write to us at theguys@vobs.tv if you happen to be in the greater Los Angeles area, or if you really want to spend a lot of money and come all the way out west just to see this show, in which case we have some other questions for you. let's see here. We'd like to thank our sponsors, of course, Vizzy Video Demos,
Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials,
VoiceOver Extra,
Source Elements,
VO2GoGo and Rehearsal App,
and Antland's Killer Demos.
Also, the VO Dojo and VoiceOver View for providing this uninterrupted, magnificent program to you every Monday night, which is going to start on time and run smooth all the way through from here on in.
Into eternity.
We guarantee it. All right. I'd like to thank Marcy for letting us being out here in the garage. Thank you, Marcy. Our producer, Catherine Curran, for finding us great guests. Anthony Getting, Jack Daniel, who did a great job in the chat room tonight. Mm-hmm. And, of course, our amazing floor producer, the one and only Andrew Bushwitz.
The only guy who doesn't have a camera on him in the studio.
Really?
What a jerk.
He's in the wide shot if he, you know.
Oh.
There we go. So, yeah, there we go. All right.
Good. Is that creepy hand?
Okay. Creepy head. Right. If you'd like to see Andrew on television, just turn on, do a Google search for, what is, no, never mind.
No need
never
for that.
Mind.
No, okay.
Jack DeGolia does the show notes, and we want to also thank
Lee Penny. Don't Google simply for being Lee Penny.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Guys, this isn't an easy business. We try to give you as much information as we can to make it easier for you, these guys as well. So thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week. And I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Yes. Night, everybody.
Cut the middle.
VOBS is still on? Seriously?